Tonight I have a two-part message. I would characterize the first part as a doctrinal kind of message, although I'm going to try to keep it simple. I would say it's a doctrinal kind of message, talking about why we need to be born again. And then the second part of my message is going to be a real practical kind of message, talking about how we can have abundant life. Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life," and so I want to talk about what that means doctrinally. And again, I'm going to try to keep it real simple. And then he says, "and that they might have and have it more abundantly." And then I'm going to get real practical on the last part of my message. So here we go. Four kinds of life. There are four kinds of life. There's plant life. There is animal life. There is human life. There is spiritual life. Okay? Plant life, animal life, human life, spiritual life. Now, let's talk about plant life. You can improve plant life. But you cannot turn plant life into animal life. For an example, you can take a potato. And who was it? George Washington Carver. Was he potatoes or sweet potatoes? Yeah. But you can improve a potato. You can make it sturdier. You can make it bigger. You can make it tastier. But you cannot make a potato into a horse. Just no way you can. I know it shocks some of you, but you can't do it. You cannot make a potato into a horse. A horse has to be born a horse, right? Can't make a potato into a horse. Now, same way, you can improve a horse, but you can't make it into a man, okay? Darwin had this thing wrong. And by the way, before Darwin died, he said, "I don't believe in evolution." Now, they never quote that when they talk about Darwin, but before he died, he said, "I don't believe this theory that I put forward." And so you cannot make a horse into, just like you can't make a potato into a horse, you can't make a horse into a man. Now, you can go backwards. There are some men that have turned themselves into mules. There are some men that have turned themselves into monkeys, but you do not go forward. You do not take an animal life and turn them into a human life. You can improve a horse. You can make a horse run faster if you train him. You can make him do tricks. You can make him jump. You can make him run. But regardless of what you do to that horse, you will never turn that horse into a man. A potato has to be born a potato. A horse has to be born a horse. A man has to be born a man. Now, here's the doctrine I'm getting to. You can improve a man. You can make him smarter. You can make him stronger. You can make him more good looking. But you cannot improve a man and give him spiritual life. Doesn't work that way. I mean, men can turn over new leaves. They can make decisions to live a better life. Regardless of what we do or what others do to us, we're still a man, and no matter what kind of improvement we make in our life, we can never capture the spiritual life that God wants us to have, that we had at one time. You can't do that by improvement. That's why Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus that night, as recorded in John chapter 3, he said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." You must be born again. I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. And here's a strange thing. If we believe, and all of us do, that we can't make a potato into a horse, and if we believe, and all of us do, that we can't make a horse into a man, why would we think that we can make a man by something we could do and give him spiritual life? Just like a potato has to be born a potato, and a horse has to be born a horse, and a man has to be born a man, so a spiritual man must be born again. He must be born a spiritual person. Now, there are all sorts of people today who would like to change that. They say, "Oh, no, no, we can improve ourselves, and we can do some things, and by those things that we do, we can become a spiritual being. We can bring back to life our spirit." And they'll put forward all sorts of things. There are some people that believe if you join a church, you'll rekindle your spirit. There's some people believe if you take communion, you will rekindle your spirit. But Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said, not by works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so regardless of what we do as human beings, we cannot make ourselves and rekindle our spirit. Okay, now let me go into a little bit more detail. When God created us, he made us in his image. Back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A threefold being, the Trinity, as we believe it. And so when they made man, or when God made man, he made us in three parts. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, what stands before you tonight is a body. It is a I hate to say this, but it is a marvelous thing. I'm not talking about mine. I know it's not marvelous, but it is a marvelous thing. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are still parts of our body that doctors haven't figured out. There are still parts of our body that they just haven't got the answer to. And so what you see tonight standing before you is a body. Now, my soul is that charming thing that lives inside this body. Thank you, Chantel, for that giggle back there. It's me. I mean, what's really me is my soul. It's what I think. It's my attitudes. It's that part of me that will live forever. You have a soul. It will never die. Never, ever. Your body will die. Our spirit, if you're not saved, your spirit is dead. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But your soul will never die. You became a living soul, I believe, at conception. And that soul will live forever. It will never cease to exist. Again, while you have this body, that soul will inhabit this body. But once this body dies, that soul will leave this body and go to one of two places. It'll go to heaven or it'll go to hell. There's no other place. And a lot of people think, well, after I die, my soul will cease to exist. No, it won't. You will live forever. You have a never-dying soul. Now, there's a third part of us called the spirit. And that our spirit is that part of us that fellowships with God. Our spirit is that part of us that communes with God. Our spirit is that part of us that has a relationship with God. Adam and Eve, they were created in the Garden of Eden, and God made their bodies. He made Adam's body out of the dust of the ground. He made Eve's body out of the rib and flesh that he took from Adam's side. When he made Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he had a spirit. He had part of him that had a relationship with God. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and you remember, when God gave them the instruction about not eating the fruit, he says, in the day that you eat this fruit, you will die. And yet we read over there in Genesis chapter 3 where they ate the fruit and they were discovered by God and they were kicked out of the garden. And some people read it and say, hey, well, what about where God said if they eat the fruit, they were going to die? Why didn't they just eat that fruit, whatever it was, and keel over dead? Because God wasn't talking about physical death. Their body was still alive. Their soul was still alive. What died was their spirit. And they were separated from God. And that part of them that should have, that was created to fellowship with God and be at one with God was dead. And they died spiritually because their spirit died. Now, what is it that kills our spirit? Sin. Sin kills our spirit. Look, when a little baby is born, they are born a threefold being. They have a body, they have a soul, they have a spirit. And again, I think they get their spirit at conception. And they have a sinful nature. They're not a sinner yet, but they have a sinful nature. They have a tendency toward sin. And when that little baby, and you say, well, how old does a little child have to be before they're a sinner? It varies. There's no given age. But the first time that little child understands the difference between right and wrong, the first time that little child knows that, hey, here's the right thing to do, here's the wrong thing to do, I'm going to choose to do wrong, they become a sinner and their spirit dies. Their spirit dies. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We don't die physically when we sin, but we die spiritually. That's why the Bible talks about it like that. The wages of sin is death. It's not that when we commit our first sin, our body dies. When we commit our first sin, our spirit dies. And when Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, well, he was talking to people whose bodies were living, but spirits were dead. And so he said, I've come that they might have life. I've come to renew their spirit. I've come to resurrect their spirit. I've come to give their spirit life. Now, there's only one way you can do that, and that's to pay for your sins. And when Jesus went to Calvary, I mentioned it this morning, I'll mention it again tonight, when he went to Calvary, God put every sin that I've ever committed, every sin that I will ever commit, all of them, on Christ, and he died for every one of my sins. And he died for every one of yours too. The one, look, I'll probably sin tomorrow. I mean, I'm not planning on it, but I probably will. I'm not planning on sinning Tuesday, but I probably will. Some of you are smiling. Are you planning on sinning tomorrow? Oh, the Butterfingers. No, no. Just wait till I get to the other part of my message. I'm going to justify my Butterfingers. Anyhow, but here's the truth. God already knew that I was going to sin tomorrow. He already knew that I was going to sin on Tuesday. He already knew I was going to sin on Wednesday. He knew that when he hung on the cross. That's thousands of years ago, 2,000 years ago. He knew every sin that I was going to commit, and the Father put it on the Son, and the Son died to pay for every single sin, every single one of them, under the blood. Under the blood. And so when I come to Christ and I admit my sin and I receive him as my Savior, he gives me life. Not physical life, because I was already alive. But what he gave life back to was my spirit, which was dead in sin. That's why the Bible talks about being dead in our trespasses and sin. And Jesus says, I'm come that they might have life. Again, not physical life, but spiritual life. And then he says, and by the way, if you're here tonight and you don't have that life, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And if you die physically, listen to me, if you die physically with your spirit dead, you go to hell. That's the way it works. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you that if you die physically with your spirit dead, you go to that place where all the other spirits, where all the other souls are, whose spirit is dead, and that's hell. And so if you're here tonight and you are, and your spirit is dead, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to get your spirit resurrected so that if you die physically, your spirit's alive, and to be absent from the body, a spirit alive is to be present with the Lord. So again, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to receive him. And you need to let him give you life. Say, I'm alive. No, you're not. Your spirit is dead. You can't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, I am come that they might have life. And then he says, and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only did he want us to have our spirit back alive so that we can have a relationship with him, but he said, look, I want you to have an abundant life. I want your life to be full. I want you to have all the joys that I have created in this world for you. You know, when God made the world, and we can go back to the book of Genesis and read about it. When he made the world, he made it for us. He made it for us. And everything he put in this world, he made so that we could enjoy. I mean, everything in this world, he made it for us. And he says, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to have the abundant life. I want you to, your life to be full. And having the abundant life is living and enjoying life in all three parts: the body, the soul, and the spirit. Having the abundant life is enjoying life and having a full life in all three areas: the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, you don't graduate from one to the other. I mean, just like a sixth grader goes into junior high, and then a junior high goes into high school. That's not how it works. I mean, you don't enjoy in the body and then graduate to enjoy in the soul, or then to graduate to enjoy in the spirit. That's not how it works. He wants us to enjoy all three together. That's what abundant life is. Okay, so now I'm done with the doctrinal part of my message. Now I'm going to get real practical. Okay? God wants us to enjoy life in the body. In the body. And by the way, don't get hung up on one. Don't get stuck on one. There are people that get hung up on enjoying life in the body. You know, you got the Charles Atlas types. Sorry. I can always tell when I do something wrong, Adam starts laughing. But you got the Charles Atlas types. And they pump weights and they drink carrot juice and they do whatever they need to do to enjoy their body. And by the way, anything that we take to excess is not right in God's sight. He wants us to have balance in your life. So don't get stuck on one area. But God gave us this body. He wants us to enjoy it. And so let me just mention some things. That's why God made apples and cherries and blueberries, so that we could mix them up and put them into pies. And we could have a hot piece of pie with some ice cream on top. Amen, Brother Leonard? That's why we could have peach cobbler. Right, Evan? No, he hates peach cobbler, but his grandpa and I like it. So God says, look, I want you to enjoy that. Banana pudding, Lois, that's why he puts bananas on this earth, and so we can make banana pudding. That's why he invented things like Big Macs and Whoppers, so that we can enjoy things in this life. And let me just put some balance in this. That's why he made green beans and potatoes and fried okra and cornbread, so that we could sit down and we could enjoy the things in this life. And there's nothing wrong, listen to me, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and enjoying a good meal. I like having an appetite. The bad thing about being sick is you lose your appetite and you don't want to eat. I like having an appetite. I like eating, you can tell. And I enjoy eating. And that's what God wants us to do. He said, look, I want you to have abundant life. I want you to enjoy this body. That's why he gives us games to play. I mean, I know some of you spent the day, and I don't know if they started or not, you watched football. And you cheered for your favorite team. Probably still be on when we go home tonight. That's why Terry likes races. He likes to cheer his favorite driver. That's why he gave us games like croquet, so that we could go out and play and enjoy ourselves. And by the way, I enjoy myself when I win. I don't like it when I don't win. I like to win. But that's what God gave us to do. God wants us to enjoy the physical. Adam, you and Chantel, come up here for a second. Chantel's been looking forward to this all day. Just stand right there. Okay, so God gave us arms so that we could hug each other. Two hands, Adam, two hands. He gave us lips so that we could kiss each other. Oh, come on. You've been married for over a year. Let's see one. Come on. Oh, okay, that's better. And that's what I'm saying. Now, again, I'm not saying we should get... Chantel, listen to this part. I'm not saying we should get stuck on it. We shouldn't get stuck on it. But that's why God made us the way we made us. He made us different. And he said, I've given you... Now, by the way, to those of you that are not married yet, you ought to wait till you get married. You boys ought to not be kissing the little girls, and you girls ought to not be kissing the little boys. You ought to wait till you get married. But when you get married, you ought to hug and you ought to kiss. Bill, you ought to hug and you ought to kiss. Yeah, that's right. I thought I'd get an amen. It's the first amen I got of them all year. You ought to hug and you ought to kiss. That's why that God gave us these bodies, and he wants us to enjoy them. Okay, you two can go sit down. Thank you. Now again, don't get stuck on it, but don't ignore it. And that's what God says. Hey, I want you to have abundant life. Now, same thing when it comes to our soul. Our soul, that's us. That's who we really are. And God wants us to develop our soul. He wants us to learn new things. I've read, and I believe it's true, as long as you're learning something new, you never get old. As long as you keep learning something new. And so he gives us all sorts of opportunities to learn new things. He gives us opportunities to feed our mind. Now, there are some things that I don't enjoy very much, but God's given me a daughter to help me move in that direction. I never went to an opera before Jessica drugged me to an opera. I never went to a play until she was in a play. I never read some of the classic books until she said, Dad, you ought to read this. And again, God's the soul is you. I mean, it's the way you think. It's your attitudes. And by the way, that soul is never going to die. That soul is going to live forever. Now, if you're a Christian and your soul is headed to heaven along with your spirit, you ought to develop in your soul a happy soul. I mean, you ought to figure out what it is that makes you happy in your soul and enjoy those things. I mean, I believe when we get to heaven, God's going to look at some of us and say, hey, pal, you need to work on your soul because you are a grouch. You don't know how to have fun. Peter, come here. I want you to take this guy over here for a remedial training to get his soul cheered up a little bit. Now, again, I'm using some liberty tonight. I mean, when we get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful to stand before Jesus and see his face to face, look at his nail-scarred hands and his riven side, the scars on his head. But we're going to spend eternity praising him. But you don't need to wait to get heaven to get happy about that. You can get happy about that down here. Too many of us just don't know how to have fun in our soul. And we're discouraged all the time and we're grumpy all the time. Look, you've heard me say this before. I don't think the disciples were grumpy. I think when the disciples got grumpy, Jesus told them, pointed out something into the crowd. Say, see that guy over there? Man, doesn't he look funny? I made him like that. So that I could point to him today and say, hey, look at that guy over there. And again, what I'm saying is, I believe Jesus knew how to have fun. I believe he taught the disciples how to have fun. I know we read about him, and I know they were in a lot of tough situations in the Bible. But when Peter and John went from those Pharisees and they rejoiced to suffer for Christ, they knew how to have a happy soul. And so should we. So should we. And then, number three, our spirit. We need to enjoy life in our spirit. Now, again, the spirit is that part of us that has a relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying we should all be monks and move into monastery and all we do all day is, you know, copy the scripture. I'm not saying that we should do that. But what I am saying is we ought to enjoy the things that feed our spirit. You ought to get to the point in your life where you look forward to getting in this book just like you look forward to sitting down to a good steak dinner. No amens. Let me try again. You ought to get to a place in your life where you look forward to getting into this book like you do when somebody gives you a great big bowl of banana pudding. Amen. Okay, good. You say, how can that be? Well, you that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to have a tough time describing it to you. We ought to have a hunger in our heart for this book and to get into this book, just like we have a hunger in our belly when we don't eat for 3 or 4 days. When we come to this place, and again, I'm almost done. I'm just going to give you some examples. When we come to this place, it ought not to be Sunday. Got to go to church again. There's a million things I'd... You can't say that. You're the assistant pastor. You have to be here. There are a million things I'd rather do. I can think of all sorts of things I'd rather do. No, it ought to be, man, it's Sunday. I get to go to church. I've been looking forward to it all week. And by the way, Satan will throw every obstacle that he will into your way. I mean, the kids will lose their toothbrush and they'll kick the cat and all that other stuff. But when we get up on, I mean, when I go to bed on Saturday night, I look forward to getting up on Sunday and coming to church. And when I don't get to come to church, there's an empty spot in my life for the whole week. For the whole week. And again, I'm not saying we need to go to a monastery and say in the Bible 24 hours a day. I'm saying that we ought to learn to enjoy the things of God that feed our spirit. And that's why the Bible says that. Here's another one. God loveth a cheerful giver. Hey, here comes the offering plate. We reach in and we grab our offering envelope and we hang on to it to the very end and we finally put it in the plate. That's not enjoying the Spirit. Hey, I get to give not only my tithes, but my offerings. Come on, usher, bring that offering plate. I can't wait to put it in. The ushers would faint if some of you acted like that. We'd have to get smelling sauce out and revive them. But that's what I'm talking about tonight, is beginning to enjoy the things of the Spirit. To have a hunger for the things of the Spirit. And again, it's not one as opposed to the other two. It's all three together. He said, Jesus says, I want you to have, I not only want you to have life, I not only want your spirit to be alive, I want you to have abundant life. I want you to enjoy the things of the body. I want you to enjoy the things of the soul. I want you to enjoy the things of the Spirit. And if we could get a hold of this, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to start enjoying heaven. We can enjoy it right now. We enjoy it right now. It's right here. And so Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. Talking about the life to a dead spirit. And he's the only one that can give our dead spirits life. There's nothing that you can do, nothing I can do to resurrect our spirits. It's not a works. It's what he did on Calvary and us receiving him. And they said, not only life, I want you to have abundant life. I want you to enjoy it all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the simple truth.